Let's read together Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 through 16. Now, in this last section of Hebrews 4, we have two motivating factors that should cause the believer to persevere in the Christian faith. These two factors are the Word of God and the high priestly ministry of Christ. Hebrews chapter 4, beginning at verse 12. For the Word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let's begin our study this morning with some background notes. In the first half of Hebrews chapter 4, we saw that the author of Hebrews was urging his readers to make sure that they entered the rest of God that was available to them. Let's look back at Hebrews 4, verses 9 through 11. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works, as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. What and when is this rest that the author of Hebrews is talking about here? Well, we concluded in our last study together that the author is thinking primarily of the future eternal rest in which all true believers will share. The present faith rest that we can experience and enjoy now is only a foretaste of that future eternal rest to come. That rest we'll experience and enjoy in the kingdom of Christ here on this earth and in heaven, when all of life's heartaches and labors are over. Now, although this rest is yet in the future, we enter it now when we become Christians, just as we enter eternal life now when we become Christians. Eternal life doesn't start when you die. It starts when you become a Christian. You have eternal life. In the same way, you see, so we enter the rest of Hebrews 4 now, even though it is that future eternal rest that is in view in Hebrews chapter 4. The important point that the author of Hebrews is trying to press home to his readers is that they better make sure of their salvation now, or they will never enter that future eternal rest of God. Remember, the recipients of Hebrews were primarily Jewish. And while all of them, at least, were professing believers, some of them were starting to slide back towards Judaism, and they were not true believers. So the message of Hebrews 4, then and today, is to make sure of your eternal salvation by pressing on in the faith. True faith perseveres. Now here at the end of chapter 4, we have two motivating factors that should cause the true believer to persevere in the faith: the Word of God and the high priestly ministry of Christ. These two factors then will be the focus of our two doctrinal points for this second half of Hebrews chapter 4. So doctrinal or teaching point number one: believers have the Word of God to convict them of their spiritual condition. Believers have the Word of God to convict them of their spiritual condition. Verse 12, once again, for the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The author of Hebrews is telling his readers to present themselves to the knife of God's Word. This two-edged sword would expose their hearts, and they would know where they stood before the living God. You know, the same is true today. Do you want to know whether you're a true believer or only a professing Christian? expose yourself to the sword of Scripture. It is the living and powerful Word of God. The Bible is not just another religious book. The Bible is the Word of the living God, and it is powerful. And the Bible, as a two-edged sword, will cut you open like a surgeon's knife and expose your true heart. Now, the main idea in the phrase piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow is full exposure. Others can't read your thoughts and the intents of your heart. Even you can't always know your own thoughts and intents of your own heart, but the Bible can. A steady diet of the Word of God is not only food for the soul, but it convicts us of our spiritual condition. You can't hide your spiritual condition from God, as we see here in verse 13. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. God sees our innermost being. He knows our every motive and thought. And we must give an account of our lives someday. It's an awesome thought, isn't it? So let the Word of God expose your heart. That's the point of these well-known verses. Let the Word of God expose your heart. Let me ask you, is it possible that there's someone here today who's living a hypocritical faith or professing faith, merely a professing faith, and you don't even know it? Let the Word of God convict you. Believers have the Word of God to convict them of their spiritual condition. Doctrinal point number two, believers have a high priest to help them in their spiritual condition. Believers have a high priest to help them in their spiritual condition. Verses 14 and 15. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. We not only have the Word of God to convict us, we also have a high priest to help us. A high priest, as you know, mediates between God and the people. As the high priest in the Old Testament passed through the inner veil of the tabernacle into the Holy of Holies and into the very presence of God, so our Lord passed through the heavens into the dwelling place of God. You see the parallel here? Look back there at verse 14 again. Seeing then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens. And it was for us. Verse 14 does not say that there is a great high priest, but we have a great high priest. He's not just a high priest. He's our high priest. And he's a great high priest. A term not used for any of the Old Testament high priests. The Lord Jesus is our great high priest. He's a great high priest because he's both God and man at the same time. What a mediator. It doesn't get any better than that, folks. What better high priest could you have than a high priest that's both God and man at the same time? Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus, there's his humanity. The Son of God, there's his deity. And as man, he can sympathize with our weaknesses because he was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. The Lord knows what it feels like to be tired and hungry and lonely and heartbroken and rejected and forsaken. And he also knows what it's like to be tempted. Question, can the Lord really feel for us when we are tempted? After all, he didn't sin, and as God, he couldn't sin. What's the answer here? Can the Lord really feel for us when we're tempted? Answer, yes, he can. He can still sympathize with us, feel with us when it comes to temptation, even though his temptations were from without, nothing from within, totally from without, and he did not yield in any way. Yet he felt the pressure of those temptations. In fact, he felt the pressure more than we do, precisely because he did not yield in any way. Illustration, and maybe I've used this illustration here before. Which tree feels the force of a hurricane's winds the greatest? The tree that stands or the tree that falls? Obviously, the tree that remains standing. So as our great high priest, our Lord is not only the best mediator because he's God and man, but he can sympathize with us more than any other human priest. Jesus is more sympathetic because he did not sin. And one who has sinned is less sympathetic because sin has a hardening effect. Would you want a high priest who is tempted and sinned by yielding even a little bit? Not me. I want a perfect high priest. A high priest who has experienced the greatest pressure of temptation, but has not yielded one little bit. Well, this kind of high priest can help us the most. And this is the kind of perfect high priest we have, Jesus Christ our Lord. Believers have a high priest to help them in their spiritual condition. What about practical application for these last few verses of Hebrews 4? In time of need, look in the right direction. In time of need, look in the right direction. Our practical application comes from verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You know, the other day, our 3.5-year-old granddaughter, Ingrid, was watching a children's program on TV, and they started singing a catchy little song. And the gist of the lyrics was something like this. If you have a special problem or need, just be brave and look inside yourself, and there you will find the strength that you need. Hey, that's not what the Bible teaches. That's New Age philosophy. Well, we were able to tell Ingrid that the song was wrong, and that when you have a special problem or need, you look to Jesus and pray to him. Let me ask you this morning, do you have a special problem or special need right now? Maybe it's even a problem or need because of your own mistakes. Well, if you're a believer, you can go boldly to the throne of grace and obtain mercy. We can come boldly because our high priest is there, and he has paid for our sins with his own blood. At the throne of grace, we can find whatever help we need at any time. Our great high priest does not keep office hours. Aren't you glad? Let me ask you, did you ever wonder how you will face death, for example, maybe even martyrdom? Would you cop out? Would you not be able to handle it? Listen, you don't have to worry as long as you look in the right direction. The grace will be there when the need arises. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. In time of need, look in the right direction.